All right, everyone. So we hope you've had a wonderful first quarter. For many who have who had orchestrated and worked to set a lot of intentionality into motion, they've probably found the goal of relaxation of this first quarter really lovely. Now, but only about 20% of the persons that we've seen on this planet have enjoyed this first quarter. The best that we can say about it for a number of people is that the overarching statement that for those of you who were here back in January, that we said that this year will be very variable. You have all found that that has been a true statement, where things have been, complete surprises, turned on a dime, complete and utterly, improbable scenarios that you may not have imagined, but even had, thought, oh, well, that's not going to be here or whatever, and so on, actually occurred or transpired. And this is mostly, again, on the personal level, but on the world level, there's a number of things we talked about. So just to reorchestrate, so just a little bit of a review of the overleaves of this year, and then what has been accentuated, and some of the things that we want to continue to add into, and what we have seen, and what we will expect for the next quarter. As you recall, perhaps, we said that this is a scholar year, and many of the overleaves, including the goal of flow, which is also termed relaxation, which is also called suspension, which is also called stagnation. Is the goal of this year another assimilative axis overleaf? The mode, and yet another assimilative axis overleaf of observation. Stubbornness, the primary chief feature of this year, another assimilative axis. So that entire axis energy has been the pervading overview of 2023 so far. Now, we also talked about this being a scholar, excuse me, a sage caste scholar year. Which we indicated would mean that the whole notion of verbiage and description and the power and the need to sort one's reality was going to be at a high point for people, because the sage energy is literally not just the communicator outside of oneself, but it is literally the disseminator and differentiator within oneself. The scholar wants it all. The sage helps the scholar in this particular combination kind of sort it out. So it's a very heady year, which talked about the intellectual centering this year. We also mentioned that the attitude of this year has been a particularly hard one for many people. And it's the attitude of cynic. Cynics in their own right, remember, it is just the warrior attitudes amongst the seven attitudes: a skeptic, idealist, cynic, realist, stoic, spiritualist, and pragmatist. They are equal, in that they exist in the metaphysical universe in our teaching. But what we have said is certainly most people find the cynic attitude the most difficult, because it is the most terse and often hard to digest. It is an attitude that is meant to be unforgiving and unrelenting. In the negative poles, of course, it can bring on experiences of internal experiences of, personal bitterness, the want to denigrate things, but also feelings of great pessimism, and or fear or concern that things will not work out. And given the fact that the chief feature of stubbornness is influencing cynicism this year, that can be an awful hard feeling of persistence to shake. That sense of difficulty and seeing the knottedness. You've often heard us, for those of you, and most everyone here is a Michael student of some time, so you recognize the terminology we use: abraded overleaves. Abraded overleaves means when their innate kind of resonances are You can think of counterpolar, like two magnets that are pushing each other away instead of attracting, and that kind of energy then is around for a number of people and have been experiencing that in the more noteworthy fashion in review of this first quarter. We want to just mention probably the greatest thing that we have seen that is coming to light and continuing the forefront, and something that we mentioned about, and we don't call this an overleaf, but we do say that it has an influence. Some of you know that when we migrated to the mental plane, we introduced the concept of the four realms: the terrestrial or material or earther realm, as we often call it jointly, which is what you are on. You all had know of the angelic realm, the fairy realm, and then the fourth one we call the techno realm. Now, each of these realms, of course, correspond to an axis of the four pillars of the universe. The fairy realm is the expression, the angelic realm, the inspiration, the earther realm or the material realm, the action axis, because that's what you are here to do on the physical plane, is experience your life through action, through motion, through the exchange of energy, through the manifestation of energy. Sometimes, of course, lifetimes that also include the feelings of loss of energy or the struggle to have enough energy, et cetera. But it is very much physical matter that you are here to deal with. That is the point. Well, the techno realm is the assimilative axis. And as we said, with all those assimilative overleaves, they are very much featured this year. And so, as you might well guess, with all the talk, incredibly widespread discussion, and growing influence of artificial intelligence in the way that you interact with technology has become a real issue for the way societies are literally and their members are responding to each other and to technology itself. Many of you know they talked about this ChatGPT, I believe it's referred to as, as the underlying robotics and algorithms of many of these chat features, which now substitute for human beings interacting with people when you go to their websites, either buy things or to get technical support or any of these number of things. Well, why this is significant is, of course, is many of these things have a very large language database that they're drawing from, so they can supposedly understand you. But in fact, many of the things they're doing is they route you into channels. And by channels, of course, we're not referring to the metaphysical sort, but we're talking about fixed channels of where you are going to be guided for information. And why that is also significant is because many of you come out more frustrated, less served, and even more confused. And yet, as far as the business world realm is concerned, it represents a cost savings. And also, as far as the publicity aspect of it, a statement of some kind of, extreme progress that human beings are supposedly experiencing. And yet, in fact, many a human being, especially in the generations known as the baby boomers and the Generation X's, are finding it, hair-pullingly frustrating. And why that's significant is because many of you then have this energy, these emotional energies of these frustrations built up with more and more dissatisfaction and the frustration that goes along with that, but then feel greater amounts of alienation even as you get more and more trapped into using the web as your primary means of gathering information. And notice that cycle then, because when you have this assimilative energy year, there it can feel like this, and with this incursion of the techno realm, like you, the human being, are in fact being tracked and automated. And in many ways, what you see in so-called social media is just that. And now there's, while the notion of what social media algorithms and bots has not been something that's brand new, over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, there has been more and more examination of the way that messages get skewed and then get replayed and then recombined and then placed in your what they call feeds, right? You know, whether in all of your social media things. So your impressions get shaped, your impressions get narrowed and targeted vis-a-vis non-living actors. So this brings up the area of where both the sage and the scholar are really both extremely concerned about, and that is misinformation. Because, you know, sages want what is, you know, more euphemistically called the truth, and scholars seek for the substance of knowledge. Now, truth has, of course, an emotional component to it. Knowledge, on the other hand, is something, you know, that has substance and has foundation and can and is, you know, provable as far as the material plane is concerned. So when that gets diluted, and when false information can be manufactured to supposedly lend support, then you get the sense, you can get the sense of how difficult it becomes to track reality. Now, believe it or not, this is where the cynic energy of this year was intended to help shape all of you, you know, to use the euphemism of the modern day, to really have your bullshit sensors up and alert. Because that's what the cynic does. The cynic is the, remember, it's the warrior attitude. Its very primal assumption is they're going to lie to me. And I got to jump on it, pound on it, defeat it as soon as I can spot it. And so what does that do? Well, on the positive, and ultimately it is a positive outcome, but it is not a positive feeling. It is not a particularly socially happy or generous or according feeling. It is the kind of thing where you are literally scrutinizing with a high degree of doubt. And of course, doubt breeds distrust. And distrust then activates the emotional center, especially in the negative poles. Because when distrust happens, then in the negative poles of emotion, people start to feel that sense of I am under threat. And that feeling of under threat then makes it very, and then not sure what to believe can be an unfortunate self-reinforcing cycle. How to cope with that? And the answer to that is, this is where the using the positive pole of this year's goal is really important, is to step away, to step back, and disconnect for as long as you can. Now, in this regard, we're spinning the, you know, the assimilative goal of using the word particularly now as its second iteration, and that is of relaxation. Okay. Remember, the iterations of that goal have been as follows. It had started off as the goal of stagnation. It then migrated through the channels J.P. Van Hool into the goal of relaxation. Then it migrated again later through the influence of several channels, including Choi and agreement from JP and others, that it became flow. And then through others still, it became the goal of suspension, meaning a literal ceasing of activity. Now, each of those, as you can tell, because we are trying to make this a linguistic teaching, obviously have different bents, but they also have similar overlays or similar conceptual bases. The part of relaxation, then, where you can literally step out of any kind of activity is important, especially when the feelings of cynicism are particularly high. By the way, it's really important that you hear this second part. It doesn't mean that your questioning, your doubt, your cynicism, your distrust is wrong or even mistaken. In fact, it could be that your emotional reaction is really strong precisely because it is accurately targeting something that is systemically been accepted, but is really mischaracterized and really trying to warn you of a potential, danger. Like a quicksand in a jungle that's completely covered over by familiar plants that you may not see. And you go, well, what's the matter? I'm just walking down the trail, but all of a sudden, boom, you begin to sink, even though you didn't see it coming at all. So stop, in other words, when you're walking down that trail. Don't proceed. Put your foot out or get down on your hands and knees and then just touch in front of you to really take stock of what's there. And that is the way to counteract and to disengage. Because the opposite side of flow, which means you remain in the current as it is, without any suspending your emotion, your activity, could mean that you suddenly find yourself literally flown into, this depression and caught into it. And then one of the things about the assimilative energy axis itself. Now, for those of you who know our cards, you know that we have defined the assimilative axis as having the positive pole of inculcation, meaning it becomes second nature. We realize we use that word differently than other teachers in other channels in this teaching, which use it as the positive pole of king. And we do not agree with that characterization. Inculcation simply means you've got it at your three lower centers so completely it has become instinctively familiar to you. So that's what the assimilation axis is. But the negative pole is disintegration. Things fall apart. So in the assimilative axis, then many of these overleaves are indicating things that are dissolving away and literally no longer functioning underneath you. And this is significant, especially as you've heard us speak before to talking about the mature soul cycle, which is in the grander scheme of our teaching, of course, the entering under the assimilative axis for the next couple of thousand years while the mature soul era blossoms. So that means that as old institutions, old ways of doing, and old things begin to disintegrate, it can be that quicksand that we talked about. So again, one of the motives that Tao tried to prepare everyone for in this very variable time was this anticipation that you are not going to have a lot of familiar anchors, except your own abilities to swim or tread water. Now we realize we're making metaphors here. And as you've heard this channel say many occasions over the last 10 years, we have equated that for ease of intellectual understanding, that metaphysics is expressed in the metaphors and analogies we utilize. Because, in fact, many of the conceptual ideas in the metaphysical, non-tangible realm can only be encapsulated by analogy and through your experience of phenomenological example. And that's what validation of your own overleaves or validation of the overleaves of the year means to you, where you have those moments of saying, oh, I get it. This circumstance, I get how these word statements describe perfectly the energetic recipe in this moment where I can really feel and see them happening. And in that, then, having those word definitions, it can act as both knowledge and truth, if you will, or knowledge and the kind of dissemination of real meaningful information that both the scholar and the sage are looking for. But it's a personal experience that each of you will have to sort for yourself. Now, one of the strategies we did, you know, offer all of you this year is that the more you can speak aloud to one another, discussing these things, sharing contrasting ideas, giving each other examples that you have experienced yourselves, the more you will actually help give each other or fill in the palette of colors of how these things are operating out there. But in addition to that, any of the tendency that the, let's call it the word, the craziness that the disintegration experience can happen, can cause in a person's intellectual center because things aren't as predictable. It can help you feel regrounded in the current of the moment. Another strategy we're offering you to use, and this may sound silly to some of you, it may be something very familiar to others of you, and that is the verbalization, oralization, speaking out loud, and allowing yourself to have conversation with yourself. And we mean that quite sincerely. That's a sage-oriented tactic. Some of you scholars do that as well. Some roles don't even think to do it, especially if you are a person whose inner sense of direction is not particularly verbal, which, of course, for many, if they're kinesthetic or more visual and holographic, it is not necessarily verbal. But for those of you who have the so-called inner voice that you hear, you know, dialoguing in your own mind, it is more familiar to you. Now, if you give it literal verbiage through your own voice, through the fifth chakra, outward, and then allow yourself to listen in. We actually mean that quite seriously, as silly as it might sound. And of course, one of the ways to get through this year is to use a little of that sage casting for as much humor as you and upliftment of your own vibration as you can. And we realize there will be many times that will be difficult to do. But speaking it aloud, you will actually hear your own self. And many of you might be surprised at any given moment what subpersonality, and many of you have heard us use that term before. In other words, aspects of your psyche that have their own point of view or their own reflection, they may take over the voice and say a phrase or literally, you know, be starting to verbalize who they really like or who they really dislike, or God, I'm really afraid of that, or oh, I really am feeling the lack of this, that, or et cetera. If you can hear it go back into your own words, and here's the key, ladies and gentlemen, at your own frequency, because as you speak it and you're re-inputting it back into your own frequency, you will literally find that you hear information and you receive information at a much slower and more digestible way than almost any of your inner voices are. The intellectual center operates at a much faster inner auditory rate or inner visual rate than your own rate of speaking. Even those of you who have very high frequencies, in the 80s and 90s, even you can't speak as quickly as your own inner mental voice does, because your own inner synaptic experience is, happens so much more quickly than does your own verbal experience. So doing that can be a way to help you literally slow down and unravel some of these things that are happening and colliding inside. Now, as we said, this year's centering is the intellectual center in the emotional part. And we would have to say that most of you are experiencing your intellectual center just being overwhelmed with thought, idea, and trying to put it all into context. And then what's happening is the emotional part is kicking in, and any number or all numbers of feeling states are just, again, going on. Now, unless you're having some pleasant surprises, which are just sought after, like yippee, moments of glee and upliftment are great reliefs, almost like for those of you who ever did cocaine when you were younger, right? That sniff of like, wow, kind of thing are so sought after right now because of the experience of this mental mishmash of things in swirl because of the goal of flow and this assimilative axis that's going on. As you do that form of speaking, and as you are, take that pause and the goal of flow, the other thing that we would have you make note of, because it will be continue to be emphasized, is, as you all know, all the assimilative axis overleaves have the condition called sliding to them. And flow in its of itself, except for the tendency of that 12 to 15% of people who have taken that goal on, like say Joe Bates has, who are not particularly comfortable with just being in relaxation. Most of you are so used to being in the push of growth, or the expansivity of acceptance. And in this latter energy period of the transition from late young to early mature, trying so hard to make sense of things, you're caught up in this overarching wave of the goal or the energy of discrimination. And the negative pole of discrimination is prejudice. As you can imagine, the slide over to discrimination goal, combined with cynicism, we think you can feel the angst, the grind, the want to just reach out in anguished bitterness that is natural there. It's easy to slip into, and we won't even tell you, don't do it. This is where we bring you into the mode of observation. The mode of observation really isn't highlighted as yet. It'll really kick in more in June. But if you can start bringing yourself using flow, as we said, disengage, and then really just pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't try so much to discern it or categorize it, what's happening at any given moment inside of yourself, let alone outside of yourself, because you'll find yourself being driven nuts doing that. The frequency of 61 is of this year will push you to want to hurry up and get through hard times. And the more you hurry, the more you're liable to feel the entanglement that happens during disintegration, using our metaphor stated earlier, in the thick of the quicksand. So recently there was several key nexus points that were crossed, particularly in this last 4 days. On the 27th and 28th, there was a major nexus that we call a nullifying or an erasure nexus. And some of you may have experienced for an opening, a sense of, oh, wow, things have lightened up. Because what happened is many essences who have felt like they're on the other side of life task, literally freed themselves of any expectations of having to perform or do or meet any headway. But remember, we introduced this 20% and 80% kind of dichotomy tonight. Well, that means 80% of the people on this planet really got freaked out a few days ago. And they got freaked out in a number of different ways because a nullifying nexus is when suddenly a lot of plans literally got taken off the table, and you are suddenly gifted with real freedom. But it's the kind of freedom that our colleague Susanna Redhouse has called a chaos node. Because suddenly, any sort of order, plan, reference, sense of guiding principle, or maybe even a sense of anticipation has been removed. And suddenly it's chaotic in the sense of not that everything is in shambles, but it's chaotic in that there's very few touchstones. So what it does is it returns to you real freedom. And for many of you old souls, this could be a real tough time, especially many of you here who are over, the age of, 50, right? You who are Gen Xers and boomers, you can find this like, wait a minute. I've been living this life basically, on these tasks and having all these karmas and thinking I was supposed to produce this. And now the world feels in complete flux and, no rhyme or reason. And even my famous, our favorite channel is sitting here telling us, well, all these things have been moved off the table. What the hell, right? And for some people will experience it as hell. Even Dante in the Divine Comedy, said that extreme freedom for many is a form of hell. That's why religions are so powerful, is because they can seem heavenly because they have so many rules and dictates for people to follow, but they're secure in the notion that there's a right way and a right path. No matter how much pain is associated, by the way, no matter how much pain it inflicts on a person or they are permitted to inflict on others, there is some level of certainty, even if the certainty is superimposed from, Maya, and the misbeliefs of the negative poles from chief features. Chief features being another name for, if you will, a version of the seven deadly sins. So people in this particular period of time are, you're going to all be tempted, lust, wrath, anger, greed, fear, sloth. Sloth being a particular favorite of both stubbornness and flow, by the way. So if any of you have been having difficulties even getting out of bed, let alone getting motivated or staying on a task, just know you come by it honestly right now, okay? And if you find yourself just gurring with a grating feeling of, oh, this sucks, or I hate this or that kind of thing, know that you come by that honestly as well, okay? And we're just asking you to kind of give yourself some permission to ride out the storm. Because the preferred sliding place right now of observation mode, which many people will feel and notice again, which happens mostly on children, is to the mode of aggression. And of course, in that nexus, you know what just happened in Tennessee. Again, it's it, and it and it's and from an informational standpoint, what the how it plays into this discussion tonight, of course, is the fact that that has become so such a galvanizing and repetitive theme that it is now in many people's mind becoming a narrative that is becoming commonplace or even quote normal and why cynicism is so important as to produce something useful is to blow it out of the water and absolutely reject it as not accepting it as normal, not allowing it to be just a stationary part of the background narrative. And so understand, cynicism really has a powerful and important part to play within you. And yes, it can be angry, belligerent, and feeling really gritty. So in this next coming of Nexus points that will be happening, there will be a convergent one that we see coming up right around anywhere from April 10th until the 19th that many of you will find will at least bring some springtime energy of forward motion. It'll be a convergent type nexus point that will take the chief feature of stubbornness and move it out of the arrogance and the that is kind of sliding into right now, and the willful sense of, I'm right, you're wrong energy, and slide it more into the secondary energy of this year of self-destruction. Now, why this could be a useful thing is you're going to see a lot of people who have just embraced belligerence, hostility, anger, and so forth fail because of that self-destruction. And for many of you who will be seeing that, you can begin to take that as an opportunity to say, okay, that is not a fuel that will burn positively in the long run, but you can see that it is the kind of thing that, as long as you stay out of the negative poles of cynicism, the negative poles of stubbornness, and the negative poles of discrimination, where that slide wants to happen, and continue to realize that right now a lot of things may not make sense, but relying on what you do know within yourself, not as a world truth, but as a personal truth. If you can do that and stay to your skills and let Rome burn around you, if you will, know that by the end of 2023, a lot of it will have burned out around you, and there will be plenty of places that we'll still have parts, so to speak, of the forests, and plenty of buildings that'll be still standing, as long as you bring, those energies to bear upon this. Now, those are, trends and energies and so forth that we have seen up to this point. And what we are talking about for, again, the next 3 months, we've just mentioned the April one. We'll talk about the one that happens, the two that happened in May, also both convergent energies, but it will be really activating, as did this last one of a few days ago, more and more of the feminine energy. Now, if you recall, we said that the entirety of 2023 was a complete flip over from 2022, which was very high masculine energy. 2023 is 73% feminine. And the positive benefits of a feminine energy actually support the positive energies of the goal of flow. That is to say, to not hold on or grab onto anything too tightly, like masculine energy does in its tendency toward focus and rigidity and needing to, be in straight line. Feminine energy can allow for more irregular, paths and circular ways of being. The downside of feminine energy is you can lose focus, and the downside of feminine energy can also quickly go into lethargy. Now, you remember here, of course, and we'll make this point over and over again. And a shout out for those of you who will see us again at the East Coast gathering in 3 weeks, that we will be talking again and reminding everyone that masculine and feminine energy is not talking about male and female people or gender. because there are plenty of masculine energied women and plenty of feminine energied men or males. When you have, and the same is true of, that other mix, feminine energied females, masculine energied men. What it means, however, is when they are engendered and embodied, how will those people tend to be operating on the world? And why that's particularly important right now is a lot of feminine energy men are crumbling. It is, and as they crumble, they become more radicalized, more terrified, more disintegrating into things like depression or outbursts of erraticness or collapse inward. The healthy expression would be if of males who were of that energy could surrender to saying, I need to be in the company of other men. Unfortunately, the tendency is for males of that quality who feel to feel more isolated, more alienated, and more freaked out, internalized. Now, it's important to know this because one of the big buzzwords of the history of the modern history of the human race in the last 40 years has been the phrase patriarchy. Now, patriarchy has been the systematic installation of masculine energy, and then personified through male bodies governing an entire system. And as you motion into the feminine, excuse me, the mature soul era, it will not be that it's going to be an emergence or reemergence of a matriarchy like it was in infant soul times. It's no. It is about the blending and the emergence of an anarchy. An anarchy. And we don't mean anarchy in the sense of chaos. We mean anarchy in that it is not matriarchy, it is not patriarchy. It is literally a synthesis of all gender expressions. That is why the LGBT queer movement has made such a powerful emergence and makes such a powerful statement for its right to exist at this point in history. Because it is trying to break the binary understanding that human beings have of maleness and femaleness in bodies. But more to the point, it's actually bringing to the surface the idea that masculine and feminine operate in everyone. And with that, then, there can be a healing, not just the emergence of the strong female, like there has been, but also there must be a healing of the macho maleness if there's ever been to be a cessation of the violence. That human beings support structures in doing. All fascism, we can tell you, is and it's extreme macho, because all fascist tendencies are extremely macho, come from very weakened, the psyche is very weakened, feeling of stability coming from very terrified inner feminine. So when it goes extreme and when it gets projected outward, it can translate into that form. And that's why you see the strength of totalitarianism and fascist movements being also equally as prevalent and predominant out there. Now, the good news is the rise of the third, the integrated synthesis, is also favored under these overlays this year. The only difficulty that that synthesis has is it's all new. There are no historic precedents for it. And so these new synthesis in your social groups, in your institutions, while they are both equally disintegrating, they are also in reformation. And it is very much, a back and forth process. So as you see these things, again, reminding you of the phrase chaos nodes, the most important thing that we can say that we advertised in this night, as a theme for tonight, is the concept of resilience. The concept of resilience. And the major way to have resilience is going in internal and finding in internal ways of recharging and reestablishing your vibration at higher levels. So we mentioned this year that doing such things as reading, for many of you, it's inspirational reading, but we also said scholarly reading, where you are exposing your mind to new ideas. And one of the idea areas that we really want to encourage you, especially those of you who are artistically oriented, is to look into this new emergence of this construct that has once again emerged from the arts of metamodernism. Do that research, do that expanded understanding. It is another way of approaching and helping you to bolster this intellectually centered, scholarly, chaotic period with new infill and a way of expanding rather than what cynicism and stubbornness could do, which of course is to really make heavy and cause a feeling of collapse. It is a balance, it is a tight wire, it is something to walk. But that those are the strategies and the means that you can do that. And the more you do, the more then you will be able to spot, and you rarely will hear us say this term, especially in a metaphysical concept, is the luck and the useful opportunities, the unexpected options that drop into your path. But that unless you really have kind of cleared away and are above the thick of the fray, you might not recognize and you might not see. So with that overview of things, then we want to turn over the opportunity for you folks to ask any questions or clarification, bring up current events, in context to what we've said this evening, or to add commentary if you wish.